Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, May 16th, Pope Leo appeals to diplomats to pursue peace. The Jubilee of Confraternities kicks off in the Vatican, and the death tolls climb in Gaza with children paying the price. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lupov. On Friday morning, Pope Leo XIV addressed members of the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See a week after his election. In his address, the Pope encouraged ambassadors to pursue paths of peace with justice, truth, and hope. Francesca Merlo reports.
Just a week after his election, Pope Leo XIV delivered his first address to the diplomatic corps in the Vatican, paying brief tribute to the outgoing dean, Ambassador Georges Pulide, and then turning to the global mission ahead.
Ringrazio Sua Eccellenza il Signore Georges Pulide.
At the heart of his message were three foundational words: peace, justice, and truth. Pillars, he said, not only of the Church's missionary activity, but of the Holy See's unique diplomatic presence in the world.
La prima parola è pace.
Peace, he emphasized, is not simply the absence of war, but the first gift of Christ, a dynamic and demanding reality rooted in humility, careful speech, and the rejection of vengeance. Even words, he warned, can wound and destroy. He called for renewed commitment to religious freedom, interreligious dialogue, and a decisive halt to the arms race, echoing Pope Francis's appeal.
Nessuna pace è possibile senza...
No peace is possible without true disarmament. Justice, the Pope continued, must respond to the deepening inequalities of the modern world. He urged nations to invest in families and protect the dignity of every person. Drawing then on his own experience as the child of immigrants, he stressed the need for solidarity across borders.
La sua dignità però rimane sempre la stessa.
Turning then to truth, Pope Leo warned of the distortion of reality, particularly online. Truth, he insisted, is not abstract. It is an encounter with Christ, the foundation for authentic communication and unity in addressing global challenges like migration, technology, and climate change.
Il mio ministero inizia nel cuore di un anno giubilare.
As he concluded, the Pope placed his ministry within the Jubilee Year of Hope, urging a renewed global commitment to dialogue, dignity, and peace, beginning with those who suffer most.
Come l'Ucraina e la Terra Santa.
Like Ukraine and the Holy Land. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Remembering how Pope Leo often begins his discourses with "Peace be with you," as he did in that of the diplomats, and has called repeatedly for peace in the world and also in the Holy Land, as we just heard, we turn to that region still reeling from war and in need of peace. Unfortunately, as Linda Bordoni reports, the bloodshed and devastation continue. More than 100 people were killed by Israeli airstrikes in Gaza on Friday, as the death toll in the enclave since the 7th of October 2023 crosses 53,000. Gaza's health ministry said hundreds more were injured in addition to those killed. Linda Bordoni.
The strikes in Beit Lahia and Jabalia refugee camps came without any warning to allow the families inside to leave these areas in search of a safe place. Witnesses in Jabalia say they continue to hear cries from under the rubble without being able to rescue those people. And wounded civilians are reportedly receiving treatment on the floor in Gaza's barely functional hospital. The widespread attacks come as U.S. President Donald Trump finishes his visit to Gulf states, but not to Israel. There had been widespread hope that his regional trip could usher in a ceasefire deal or renewal of humanitarian aid to Gaza, where an Israeli blockade of the territory is now in its third month. Speaking to reporters at a business forum in Abu Dhabi on the final day of his trip, Trump said he was looking to resolve a range of global crises, including Gaza. Israel said it was continuing its operations against Hamas militants in Gaza and that it struck 150 targets in the past day. The strikes follow days of similar attacks that have killed over 130 people and wounded hundreds. An Israeli official described them as preparatory actions in the lead-up to a larger operation and to send a message to Hamas that it will begin soon if there isn't an agreement to release hostages. The war began when Hamas-led militants killed 1,200 people in an October 7, 2023 intrusion into southern Israel. Israel's retaliatory offensive has killed more than 53,000 Palestinians, many of them women and children, while an Israeli-imposed blockade is preventing food, fuel, medicine and all other supplies from entering the enclave, causing famine and worsening a catastrophic humanitarian crisis. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And according to the just-released 2025 report published by the Global Network Against Food Crises, the number of people suffering from hunger globally has increased by 14 million. The data that shows there are more than 295 million people who are experiencing severe food insecurity stems from monitoring activity conducted by various international organizations across 65 countries, 53 of which are affected by critical levels of acute hunger. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Aurelien Melin of the UN's Food and Agricultural Organization's Emergency Division explained that the factors underlying the growing emergency continue to be wars, climate change, and natural disasters. Let's listen.
Something that we can say of this report is that we notice that there are 35 countries that are consistently in food crisis since we started this analysis in 2016. So this protracted food crisis, they require not only a short-term assistance, they require also long-term assistance and, let's say, not only development assistance, but also a combination of different types and multi-sectoral humanitarian assistance. That includes emergency agriculture assistance, which has been frequently underfunded in the past few years. And we noticed that in some countries where the right assistance was delivered to the people in need, we noticed improvements in terms of acute food insecurity trends over time. So that's the message that we want to pass, that there are some solutions. It's just a matter of choosing the right path.
Among the reasons of this food insecurity growing in the world, there are, climate change reasons, financial reasons, conflicts and wars around the world. What is the more impacting reason that we can find in this report?
This report consistently reported three main drivers of food crisis since 2016. The first one being the conflict and insecurity, which unfortunately affects the largest number of people facing food crisis today. Some of the most important cases that we report this year is Sudan, for instance, where there are famine situations reported due to the conflict outbreak in particular. Two major also other drivers are the weather extremes and economic shocks, which are also due and derived from global economic shocks such as the COVID pandemic and the effect of the war in Ukraine.
Thanks there to Aurelien Melin of the UN's Food and Agricultural Organization's Emergency Division, speaking there to Stefan Olashinsky. Meanwhile, the Jubilee of Confraternities is currently underway in the Vatican. This special event is taking place from May 16th to May 18th at St. Peter's Basilica and throughout the Vatican. It is particularly dedicated to members of religious confraternities and includes passing through the Holy Door, pilgrimage, confession, and Mass. Joe Tullock reports.
Approximately 100,000 faithful are expected in Rome for the Jubilee of Confraternities, which is taking place from today, Friday, May the 16th, to Sunday, May the 18th. Pilgrims from some 100 countries are flocking to Rome, with the largest contingents hailing from Italy, Spain, the United States, Malta, France, and Brazil. Numerous pilgrims are also expected from countries such as Mexico, Argentina, Poland, Portugal, India, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Ethiopia. The celebrations will begin with a pilgrimage to the holy doors of Rome's four papal archbasilicas, which will be followed by a welcoming event at the Basilica of St. John Lateran, featuring prayer, testimonies and greetings from the various confraternity delegations. On Saturday, the so-called Great Procession will wind through Rome's city centre, showcasing popular faith traditions from Italy and beyond. Notably, there'll be two renowned statues from Andalusia's Holy Week processions, the Most Holy Christ of the Expiration from Seville and the Virgin of Hope from Malaga, which will be displayed at St. Peter's Basilica before being part of the procession. The statue of Christ is nearly 2 metres tall and will be carried on a float by 42 bearers, while the Virgin of Hope will be carried by 270 people. The procession will split into two routes, and both will meet at Rome's Circus Maximus, the ancient chariot racing venue. The Jubilee will then conclude on May the 18th, that's this Sunday, with a Mass at St. Peter's Square, where confraternity members dressed in traditional attire will gather for a Mass which will also mark the beginning of Pope Leo XIV's Petri ministry. I'm Joseph Tullock.
Now rewinding the clock a bit, during the conclave last week, Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle had set next to an old friend, one he'd known for years. 1 week later, in a private audience, he once again met this friend, who now has a different name, Pope Leo XIV. The American-Peruvian cardinal and the Filipino cardinal have known each other for many years, and over the past two have worked together closely as heads of their respective dicasteries, that of bishops and that of evangelization. In an interview with Vatican News, Cardinal Tagle offers a personal portrait of the new pope, recounts the spiritual experience of the conclave, and reflects as well on Pope Francis's legacy. Elvina Fernandez tells us more.
Thinking back to their first encounters, both in Manila and in Rome, Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle reflected on Pope Leo XIV's character, saying, "He has a deep and patient capacity for listening. Moreover, Cardinal Tagle described him as someone who takes time to reflect and study the situation before making a decision, and his warmth has been shaped by his prayer and missionary experience. This conclave was Cardinal Tagle's second, and he reflected on how each one is a unique and unrepeatable experience, but also how it is a liturgical event, where time is dedicated to prayer and listening in order to act with the intention for the good of the universal church." In the interview, Cardinal gave an inside look into Pope Leo XIV's reaction immediately after he received the two-thirds majority vote needed to become the new pontiff.
Habemus Papam. Eminentissimum, ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Robertum Franciscum, Sancte Romanae Ecclesiae Cardinalem Prevost, qui sibi nomen imposuit Leonem Decimum Quartum.
He shared that the Pope alternated between smiling and breathing deeply, revealing a combination of holy resignation and holy fear. Cardinal Tagle says a thunderous applause erupted following the vote, and the cardinals expressed their joy and gratitude for their brother. Now, as Pope Leo has been called, the Pope of Two Worlds, Cardinal Tagle explained how his multi-continental and multicultural background will help him in his ministry and benefit the Catholics, Christians and non-Christians. The Petrine ministry, the Filipino cardinal said, remains the same throughout history, but each pope lives and exercises it through his unique humanity. I'm Elvina Fernandez.
And that takes us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other updates, please visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va, as well as our social platforms for the latest updates. Be sure to watch the inaugural Mass of Pope Leo XIV on Saturday morning, and also his portraits on our website now. Thanks for a sound engineer in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellana-Lubov.